Terry was president, associated two by when I was vice president in 1928, and the following year, he was president of the senior class. I have one memory of Terry that I can forget. He doesn't want me to tell it. One time way back, long after we had graduated, somehow or other I happened to be in Tijuana with my husband, and we were at Old Caesars or someplace. I probably didn't know where I was. And I turned around and there was Terry. And he said, "Oh, my first vice." There's no way you can explain that to a husband. When did his Grace Gans get us his wife? Who never looks a day older than she did at college. On the other side, down here, at the very end, we have Lori and Mrs. Carr. Lori was a president of the ASB in 1929, and all-around athlete. Retired as the principal of San Diego High School. And his wife, the former Eloise Wills, ingenue and star of the Aztec Follies of 1929 and 30. Next we have the former Lois Forster and her husband, Art Linkletter, whom you may remember from somewhere. And now it's my turn to say something about Sue. Sue, I consider Mrs. San Diego State. She attended here in the 1920s. When I was here. In fact, she edged me out as president of Treble Clef one time, I'll never forget it. She came back later as a member of the faculty, and one of her famous stories is the time she had took Mrs. Caldwell to a dance and had the punch spiking stuff under the seat. Mrs. Caldwell never knew the difference. They got out to the dance, and Sue took Mrs. Caldwell out to the porch, and Les took the stuff in and spiked the punch, and everything went fine. 2 years ago, Markham Garner said, "Aren't they going to have a reunion for the San Diego State class of 1928?" I called Sue, who was on the alumni board at the time, and she got it all going. She got some of us to work from January on last year, names and addresses, and we had the first big reunion last year. Sue is responsible for many things today, including many other receptions, and if you'd like to drop in on one of these receptions, she'll tell you where to go. She's also going to introduce the faculty members who are here today. So, Sue, it's your turn.
Before I introduce the illustrious faculty, if you know names and addresses of any of the early year, not just graduates, but those who attended San Diego State, please send them in to the alumni office. Just send it to Alumni Development, San Diego State University. We would like, a year from now, to have a truly fine coverage of the former alums. Now, that's not just early years. You have sons and daughters that did go here ever so briefly. Would you see that we get their names and addresses so that eventually we have a fine coverage? The second announcement has to do with the receptions for this afternoon. And for the first time, they will be by special interest. So if you have one of these special interests, and after this luncheon, you'd like to attend a reception, all of them are in the area. Step one, the student leaders is over at the faculty staff center. If you have any trouble finding it, ask at the information desk on the way out. The Rutgers reception is in the presidential suite. Now, all of these start right after this function. Rutgers presidential suite. The science and engineering reception in the council chambers. The performing arts, that's everyone in theater, television, radio, rhetoric, public address, debate, music of any kind. Performing arts reception at 2:30 at the Casa Real, just down the hall. Now that is not all of them. That's all I can share. I'll scurry after this and find any of the others, but there are about five receptions going on. Here is the official list. The Rutgers, I can't even do that. Yes. There is a reception for high school leaders who will be meeting former presidents. So any of you who were president of the student body, you should attend that one. And then President Thomas Day has an invitational reception a little later in the afternoon, also in this conference. So for the first time, and this will be, I hope, continued and improved upon and expanded, you can return to your special interest group. Now it's my pleasure to introduce early faculty. Those people who were on campus before and during 1933. First, Isabel Hammond. Would you stand? Isabel Hammond was a student from 1908 to 1910, and then she became associate professor of education and did nursery school and kindergarten training from 1936 to 1957. Dorothy Harvey, please stand. Dorothy Harvey also started as a student and became a faculty member. She was a student from 1912 to 1914, and received her AB degree in 1924. And then, at that time, became a member of the faculty and continued until 1961. She's one of those rare persons who actually danced around the maypole at the old campus of on the green. She was on the Rhino Gold rowing team. Her field is botany and microbiology. Alice Raw Warren. I'm proud to say she was my teacher. She was on faculty from 1923 to 34. She was on the Petro rowing team and became faculty advisor for Phi Sigma Nu sorority. Christine Springston. Christine Springston led the men's glee for 27 years and was on the campus as faculty for 36 years, Christine? 36 years. Isn't that a splendid record? She established Sigma Alpha Iota, the National Music Organization, and was the National Vice President for 14 years. She was involved in concerts, piano recitals, chamber music, anything having to do with the music department, all those 36 years. Dudley Robinson. Dudley Robinson was a student also from 1922 to 25, and he joined the faculty in 1928 and left in 1973. He became one of the top people on our faculty. He was division chairman from 1946 to 1970. His field was chemistry. He was involved in science education. He was a consultant in chemical engineering. Dr. Chesney Moe. A graduate of Sweetwater Union High School, he also became a student at San Diego State from 1925 to 1928, at which point he went to Stanford in 1929, and then returned as a graduate assistant in 1929. He received his master's in 1931, and that same year joined our faculty. His field was physics, and he, if you count the war years, was on faculty 41 years. Dr. Clifford Baker. I saw him. There he is. He was a student at San Diego State from 1929 to 1933 and on faculty from 1937 to 1975. As a student, he sang in the Glee Club, he was in the International Relations Club, and in the Blue Azteca. He talks as a faculty member Spanish, French, and German, and he has, since retiring, given a great deal of his time and help to the Friends of the Library, which, by the way, I hope many of you will join, a very fine organization which is always helping the rare books collection of our institution. Dr. Harry Steinmetz. Dr. Steinmetz graduated from Purdue in applied psychology, and he has probably taught more different places than anybody sitting here. NYU, University of Cincinnati, Purdue, University of British Columbia, University of Stockholm, Kalamazoo. He retired from the University of Alberta, Canada. Perhaps his most interesting experience was working with Martin Luther King for 4 years in a black college called Morehouse College of Atlanta University. He became director of psychology at the Royal Alexander Hospital in Edmonton, Alberta. I think it's interesting the fact that he obtained the first radio job for art memoir. Right? Now, this person is a recent newcomer. He didn't come till 39. Dr. Ambrose Nichols. During war years, he worked on a number of very important projects, including the Manhattan Project at Berkeley. He is perhaps most famous among us for his becoming president of Sonoma College. He was the first president of our San Diego State College Senate. He's the kind of a person that everybody loves. Finally, I'd like to introduce Dr. James Crouch. Crouch obtained his AB from Cornell in 1930, his master's in 31 there, and came to San Diego State in 1932 and stayed here for 41 years. He also was very important in administration, quite similar to Dudley Robinson's contribution. He was chairman of the biology department, which was a division of life sciences from 1962 to 69. He's one of those fellows who, after retirement, has made more money and become more nationally famous than he was as a faculty member. He has written such splendid texts that they've been adopted all over the country. He's done such excellent work that they have been translated into Japanese and Spanish, as well as being in the original English. His specialty is human anatomy. May I call on Dr. Crouch to tell us a little bit about how it was then.
Then they didn't serve wine. When I came here in 1932, the campus had just been moved here, I think, a semester before, from a place on Park Boulevard. And I know people were wondering at the time why they put San Diego State way out there in the background. And of course, we were surrounded by chaparral all over, on the mesas and in the canyons. We had rattlesnakes on campus, jackrabbits, coyotes, bobcats. They were all common here. Then we had moved into their territory. To a biologist, of course, this was great, because any trip to the campus was a field trip, which biologists dearly loved. College Avenue was a very narrow street. Montezuma Road was not there at all. And there wasn't much that you could call a road on campus. But there wasn't any parking problem then, which many people experience now. You could park on the regular lots that they had established. No paving, of course. They got very muddy when it rained. There were a few privileged people, however, who came over from the old college on Park Boulevard, who somehow managed to have parking sheds. And of course, this was Depression time, and if they weren't quite making it to their income from the state, they rented these sheds out to the more affluent people who were around. Buildings, of course, were very few in number, and there was no difficulty finding them. Now, if you were on campus when the semester starts, well, you were constantly being stopped by students, sometimes by new faculty, getting directions as to how to get around this very complex establishment, which is now San Diego State University. At the time we came, they had 1,200 students. San Diego State had about 60 faculty. I guess fewer than they have on the Faculty Senate now, as a matter of fact, the governing board. And because of this small number of people, and also because we were in the depths of that depression, the student and faculty interest was almost entirely centered on the campus. We didn't have all of the distractions that we have now. Students didn't all have their own cars, and we didn't have a television, apologies, link letter, but television has become a great distraction and all to all of us, not just students. And of course, it can be very educational, too. Sorry, I don't have eyes in the back of my head to see what's going on back there. But I think this close relationship that we had in those days, the faculty with the faculty of all departments, and faculty with students, made for a very wonderful teaching situation. One that we experienced for a good many years during the Depression. It even dropped lower during the World War, about 800 students. students after the war. Of course, they started coming back and the thing started growing, but it didn't really get over to that until the 60s. And I remember as division chairman, I became chairman when we had 60 faculty members in life sciences, and when we ended up, I think we had about 150. We didn't know very well what I did with those years, hiring people. So I think we had a very wonderful situation in those early days, and I suppose I reveal my age by going up on this point. As it got larger, we lost touch. You hired new people outside of your department. We didn't have those little play reading groups anymore that we used to have in the homes. And the faculty dames we used to meet in the homes, that all changed. In fact, somehow dames wasn't at all appealing anymore to the young faculty wives, and I'm not even sure what they call themselves now, but certainly not dames. Which, of course, I can't really understand, but I saw it, and it did happen. And I remember another thing in those early days, the faculty could go to the cafeteria, which is the student faculty center now, and we could sit down and be served. And not only that, we could be served by our Linkler, and he says he could still do it. And we know how well he's been served in many, many capacities. I would, however, like to pay a special tribute at this point to our president at that time, Dr. Edward L. Hardy, a very scholarly gentleman, a very friendly person, a very supple sense of humor, a very fair person. And he held very strongly onto the economic side of the college. And that irritated us a little bit sometimes. But when he retired in 1935, as far as I know, he promoted everybody who was eligible, including me. And I bet he had a twinkle in his eye and a smile when he turned that into Sacramento. I would like to pay tribute also to Dean, or if you like, Coach Charles Peterson, who was a very warm, dear person. He was the social center. He was father to many people. He made us, I know, feel more at home, I think, than any other one individual on the campus. He held a lot of things together. And I guess for a time he was the whole PE department. And in closing, I would like to say that I don't know why Sue Ernest asked me to do this, because I am not an alumnus. I never even knew the old college. And there are so many people out there who had that kind of experience. So maybe I have kind of misrepresented things. But since I can't remember whether Sue asked me to talk for 5 minutes or 50, I think I will close and thank you very much for coming, and thank you for your attention, and I hope you will come back. I think I love this institution probably as much as you people do. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Krause. And now I think we'll have a little period when you can just talk to whoever is by you, and we'll continue the program after we're through with the lunch.